with me right now. Say it with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for what you have for me right now, right here, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us, ministering to us. Lord, we just thank you that the things we share today really touch us where we're at. Lord, because all of us deal with certain aspects in our lives where we're believing for something, or we are in the midst of something. It's a struggle, or we're in the midst of something we weren't expecting. Lord, thank you that we understand what it means to have that faith perspective today, that you're always faithful. No matter what it looks like, you're always faithful. And Lord, we are so grateful for that. And we just give you praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we've been sharing about this last Sunday. I felt impressed to do part two. And the Lord kind of dropped some things in my heart I wanted to show. I'm going to do a bunch of pictures today. But, you know, perspective, whether it's photography or art, perspective is a form. And it's really a neat thing. These stairs are perspective. And I told you before, I like going to buildings where I can take pictures like this. And we showed you two of those pictures when we were at the Arch de Triomphe there in Paris, looking up and down in the spiral staircase. I meant to show the picture of that parts of it where it fell off back in one of the wars, and they have it on display up there. That image of that soldier was really so fun to see, and I put a little comment under it. Oh my gosh, look at those shoes. I love art. I could spend my time in a museum looking at paintings all day. Eric's mom sent me this picture. Her sister was at the beach, and she thought this was an unusual rainbow. Isn't that beautiful? That kind of gives you a perspective, doesn't it? It's really pretty. And I thought that was so wonderful. So, Sandy, I wanted to share that with everybody today. And I forgot her sister's name.
Vicky.
Yeah, Vicky was at the beach. And that's just a beautiful shot, how the clouds and everything behind all that with the sunlight hitting it. It's just amazing. God's creation is beautiful, isn't it? Amen. Reminds us of his faithfulness. And then this was a shot in one of the castles we were in, or I think this is at St. Mont-Michel in Normandy. And this is where the priest would walk up into this private prayer area. And I thought, when I saw it, we walked by and I jumped back real quick with my phone and said, whoa, that's good. And I snapped this picture and I thought, man, that's beautiful. That really shows art, shows perspective, and the sunlight coming in. Just an amazing place there in France, and a really beautiful shot. And then this is my favorite picture of all, and I want to share this with you. This is so precious to my heart. This is Lady up close and personal. Usually early in the morning, she sits at my legs and curls up next to me. This morning, she rolled over with her head on my ankle and just had her paws up, just purring. And, you know, she's a sweet cat. We love our animals. How many of you love your furry babies? Amen? Amen. If you have a dog or a cat, a guinea pig, or guppies, I don't know. You can't hold a guppy. But, you know, our animals are precious. Amen. Special blessing. We appreciate our cat very much. She's a talented little girl. She can jump about this high in the air and catch one of these rubber bracelets that we wear all the time about something good always happening to me. And if you want one of those, they're somewhere here in the church. We'll get those out. But we sure love our animals. Amen. The handout today is a double page because the scriptures were so many. And if I did it on half a page, that would have been in like 5-point font. And I would have heard complaints from people. So you got to take a lot of notes today because I got double duty on the back, all right? But all the scriptures are here, and the points are blank, so you got to watch for this today. This is going to be really good. and in depth. You know, when I was at Bible college, I was amazed learning about faith. I went to Norval Hayes' Bible School, and I had a choice. I could have gone to Rhema. I actually thought about going to Rod Parsley's Bible College. He had just started it. It was meeting in the bottom of a white church building with a steeple in the middle of a gravel parking lot. And they were doing a Bible school down there. Lester Summerall and others were coming and teaching at it. And I actually thought about doing that. A friend of mine at Redemption Church there in Knoxville, Redemption Christian Center, he was talking about going. He said, but you got to do what God's told you to do. So I went to Norval's, and I'm glad I did. And then today, you know, we're hooked up with Rhema just because of all the things we've done in our lives. But when I first started school, I was amazed at how all the things I learned about faith. Everybody say faith. All right. You know, I was hearing and reading powerful Bible verses. There was all sorts of teaching. At Norval's, every week was a different subject. And at the end of the week, we had a test. At the end of, I don't know if it was a quarter or a semester, we had a big test. And all the different subjects and things that we did, we were tested over those things. But I was thrilled all the time to hear about all the possibilities that faith can bring. But then one day, we had a teacher come that totally blew my bubble, totally busted everything I had thought about faith. And in one of my classes, it says, you know, he got up and he said, I want you students to know that crises are going to come to all your lives. And trouble's going to come. Well, I just didn't agree with that. Because I was an arrogant, prideful Bible school student who thought he knew it all. How many of you know it's what you learn after you know it all that counts? I'm telling you, today trouble comes. Okay? Now, at the time when I heard that from this particular speaker, I kind of blew my bubble. And I just kind of took umbrage with all that and thought, well, you know what? I was under the impression if you're really in faith, you were immune from all the ills into this world. And you were, you know, you were free from trouble. And, you know, a person of great faith could prevent all the negative circumstances and control every outcome in life. But in my foolishness, I was a bit dismissive towards that speaker. How many of you know you learn a lot after you learn, right? Well, a few months later, we had another speaker come. I'll tell you who he was. He was Dr. Roy Hicks. He was, one time, for many years, he served as the general supervisor of the Foursquare Church. And when he spoke, he started out by advertising a new book called Ready or Not, Here Comes Trouble. I immediately just did not agree with that. I vowed I'm not buying that book. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to buy it. But I got it now. I was a little bit dismissive about that. I was shocked at what I thought was negativity and unbelief coming from the pulpit. But how many of you know you go through things? Come on now. Am I in the wrong place? Y'all looking like you're all perfect and prideful. Well, we all go through things, don't we? We all have things that come up and we deal with stuff. Everybody say stuff. Well, over the years, you know, I grew up and I realized that these gentlemen and a couple of lady folk ministers that I heard got into some of this and I disagreed with for a bit. I remember Vicki Jameson sharing some things in at the Knoxville Civic Coliseum. And when I first heard it, I was like, whoa. But then it took me a couple weeks. I had to process that. And I thought, boy, that really was good. What a powerful speaker Vicki Jameson was. Amen. It's going to be nice to see her in heaven. Amen. Anybody know who I'm talking about? All right. Powerful, powerful speaker. If you can go back and find some YouTube stuff of Vicki Jameson, what a blessing. What a blessing. Powerful move of the Holy Ghost. But I really came to realize that you need to have the right perspective when it comes to faith. Because we all deal with stuff. And it's really easy to have a hyper-idealistic view of what faith should be. You know, we might have an attitude, well, because I believe God, I will never face problems. But, you know, if you're really more mature in faith, you acknowledge, you know what? God is with me. God is empowering me and helping me no matter what I might encounter in my life. Aren't you glad about that? You know, the other day, was it last weekend, the storms came through in Oakland. We were talking about that outside. And it came up quick. I was outside grilling chicken for Melissa. She wanted me to grill these chickens, chicken breasts. And I was grilling, and the wind came up, and it was so strong. The bird feeders were this way. My shirt was blowing up over the top of my head. And I'm out there grilling chicken and cracking lightning. Oh, it was something else. But you know what? Stuff happens. We didn't lose any shingles, but I had most of the fire pit blew out into the backyard. And so that was exciting to go out and clean that up. So, you know, stuff happens. Everybody say stuff happens. It does. And again, we're talking about a faith perspective. I think a lot of believers in our lives, we really at times resemble the stony ground. Now, don't take offense to what I'm saying to you. Just listen to me. A lot of times in our lives, we get into the stony ground. So what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, you remember when Jesus talked, Mark 4, verse 17, this is from the New Living Translation, says, they fall away as soon as they have problems, or they are persecuted for believing God's word. And he's talking about the parable of the sower. But people tend to fall away as soon as trouble comes. They step away from what they've been taught, what they've heard, and they're more moved by what they feel, what they see, rather than what they believe. God's always faithful. Well, that didn't get an amen.
Amen.
I said, God is always faithful.
Amen.
You can have a storm come up. You could get up in the morning and all four of your tires are flat because you drove through a construction site. You're going to let that steal your joy? Now, I'm going to keep the faith perspective here. You know what? I'm not going to let it bother me. God's going to take care of it. You know, a lot of people, though, that their hearts become stony ground at times. Well, no matter how long we've been in the Word, we have stuff that happens maybe physically and with our health, and maybe we have something happen where we hurt ourselves or we have to have a surgery or something and we get down on ourselves. You can't be that way. You still believe God. You still trust in God. That's a faith perspective. Come on, shout amen.
Amen.
How many of us have known people who have turned away from the message of faith because they were hit with a major crisis in their life? Maybe they didn't receive a quick answer to a prayer and they got mad about it. I had somebody, I think I've shared this before, but he wanted to take me out to lunch and was mad. He even cussed at the dinner table. Said, I don't believe this faith stuff. It ain't working for me. I gave such and such last Sunday and there's been no return. Oh, you're laughing. I couldn't laugh because he was mad, but I wanted to. How many of you know it's consistency that makes the difference?
Yeah.
You know, if you plant a corn kernel in the ground, you're not going to get no corn stalk for a while. If you plant tomato seeds in the ground, you're not going to get tomato plants for a while. What do you got to do? You got to water, you got to fertilize, you got to work that ground. You got to pull the weeds out of your yard, out of your garden. You got to pull the weeds out in your flower beds so the plants can grow freely, so that they can produce fruit. Everybody say fruit. But he was upset, pitched a fit about it. And I finally got him to calm down. I said, listen, it's going to be okay, you know, but giving is something. He multiplies your seed sown. It's something you do continually. And he caught it, but yet he didn't. And you know, a lot of times in our lives, things happen and we're under pressure and we're under stress about things. But we have to stay faithful to what the Word says. We have to stay faithful to the faith perspective, because God's always faithful to you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, you know, faith is far more than receiving a specific or desired outcome. Faith is you and I trusting in God regardless of the situation, regardless of what it looks like, regardless of the outcome. faith, that faith perspective is way more than just believing for an answer to your prayers. But it is trusting in God regardless of what things look like. How many of you remember reading in Habakkuk where the prophet Habakkuk wrote, "The just shall live by faith." Say that with me. The just shall live by faith. Well, this same wonderful prophet, he wrote later in Habakkuk chapter 3, in verses 17 through 19, he said these words, and I want you to catch this. "Even if the fig tree does not bloom, and the vines have no grapes, even if the olive tree fails to produce and the fields yield no food, even if the sheep pen is empty and the stalls have no cattle, I will be what? Happy with the Lord. I will truly find joy in God." Who does what?
Saves me.
He saves me. Amen. He saves me. And it goes on, he says, "The Lord Almighty is my..." Whew! Think about it. That's a real good Monday morning verse for anybody. "The Almighty is my strength." Oh, and here, I like this. "He makes my feet like those of a deer. He makes me walk on the mountains." I want to tell you today, you're not under the mountain. You're walking across the mountain. Amen. You're not under the rock. You are on top of the rock because He planted your feet on the solid rock. Amen. God's good. Everybody say, God is good. Amen. You know, can I tell you this too? I mean, this, you know, just trying to blow your theology out of the water today. Paul faced attacks all the time. I think sometimes we bypass that. Paul faced attacks all the time, but he had the right perspective. Paul made the statements all the time. He made statements like mentioning tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. And then out of the blue, I don't know if I put this in the notes. Did I do that? No. Out of the blue, and it's in your handout here, Romans chapter 8, verses 35, and then verses 37 and 39. It's in your handout. Paul wrote these words. He said, "Yet in all these things..." All these things. You could say this today, couldn't you? And all the things you're dealing with and all the things you've been going through. "Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors." That's what he said. "Through him who" what? "Loved us." And then Paul went on to write, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus in our Lord." That's something to shout about. And this is the cat who was left for shipwreck. The snake came out of the fire and bit him. He told everybody on the boat when they thought they were all going to die, "Don't worry, we're going to be all right. I have prayed, I believe God." Amen. You're going to deal with stuff in life, but you got to have the right perspective. Because God always delivers you from something. He'll always deliver you in the midst of something, and He'll always deliver you through something. Can you shout amen?
Amen.
And that's what I want to give you today. As we wrap this series up, you know, our ideal perception of deliverance might be that we never face anything negative. But I'm here to tell you, you're going to face circumstances. That's good news. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Glory to God. You're going to face stuff. You're going to deal with stuff. Am I right, Miles? You're going to deal with stuff. Stuff's going to happen. Somebody's going to mess your Cheerio bowl up. You're going to deal with stuff. But your perception of deliverance might be that you never face anything negative. But is that consistent with the Scriptures? No, it's not. Absolutely not. And what I want to do, you know, we could even call this, I forgot what the word was I was going to share. I didn't write that down. But it's just the right perspective to think right. Amen. Practical Christianity, that's it. Practical Christianity here. We all deal with stuff. What I want to do, though, is look at some phrases and show you what the Bible uses in these phrases to bring you to this place of deliverance. And if you'll note what I'm sharing, they don't always all look the same, but they do take a paintbrush and paint a picture for your own personal life. And I want you to hear what I'm saying. All right? So the right perspective, delivered from, delivered in, delivered through. Number one, sometimes deliverance from implies prevention or an avoidance of a problem. Sometimes deliverance from implies prevention or an avoidance of the problem. The scripture here, just want to run through these verses and you catch the stories, because if you grew up in church, you catch these stories. David stayed in strongholds in the wilderness and remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul sought him every day. Well, Saul wanted to do what to David? Kill him. Well, boy, that's a bad place to be. Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. See, it was prevention or an avoidance. David was okay, but still he was in a tough place. What about Psalm 17 in verse 8? David prayed, "Keep me as the apple of your eye." And I like the last statement, "Hide me under the shadow of your wings." So a friend of mine wrote that song, "Under Your Wings I Hide, I Will Not Be Afraid." We sing that in here every once in a while. You're always under His protection. Amen. But we're in life, we're not immune to stuff taking place. Things happen at times. I mean, Psalm 27 and verse 5, David said this, said, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion." We have a pavilion out behind us here, and we had our big tent set up yesterday. That was nice. We just bought that. We got it for the Bartlett Festival because we got two spaces this year, and Pastor Matthew ordered this thing, so it's got lights in it. So on Friday night, it just lights the whole tent up, lights our logo up so everybody can see it from a distance. It's going to be great. But you know what? We all going to deal with stuff. And David said, "Hide me in your pavilion." And David goes on, he says, "In the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." Amen. I don't care what you're going through. God has you protected and covered. He's better than like a good neighbor. Jesus is always there. Amen. And you are stuck on the Band-Aid, and the Band-Aid's always stuck on you, but Jesus is the one that's stuck on you. Even in the midst of where you're believing for God to deal with whatever's happening, He's got ways to prevent it touching your life and to keep you, to avoid that problem coming and consuming you. Because He's that kind of God. Can you say amen? That's a proper faith perspective. Think of Passover, when the children of Israel were completely protected from the scourge that affected the Egyptians. What about this? They were spared the consequences that others experienced in Egypt. See, you can also remember that Jesus as a child, Herod was really weird. He got really wigged out about some other young king, so he had every kid under 2 years old, every boy killed. Murdered. But in spite of his crazy murderous intentions, Jesus was delivered. It was prevented so it didn't touch him. He avoided the problem. His parents took him somewhere else. A lot of that had to do with the blessing that he got when the wise men came and blessed him with all that money. Joseph of Arimathea financed their way, took care of it. If you study it out, you see that. Of course, Joseph of Arimathea also provided the tomb for Jesus. And that came from the wealth that Jesus had. Jesus wasn't poor. He had a house. See, I don't believe that. Son of Man had no place to lay his head. Wait a minute now. He told Andrew and them, they asked him where he lived. He said, come and see. And he took them to his house. And they stayed there that night. You got to realize that the scripture about where he's no place to lay his head, he's talking to a bunch of religious people. He had to shake the dust off his feet and move on. And he used it as a teaching example. You got to read your Bible, not just take a scripture out of context to prove your point. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's for somebody today. Listen, here's another one about being delivered. The right perspective from being delivered from, delivered in, or delivered through. Number two, a lot of times deliverance from implies extraction. Everybody say extraction. You ever extracted yourself from a situation? Come on, everybody's done that, right? I'm done. By golly, I'm done. So you got extracted from the problem that you were in. Or somebody else got extracted from a situation they were in. Well, look at these scriptures here, and you all remember some of these stories. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 18. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all the kingdoms and from those who oppressed you. God extracted them from those situations, the children of Israel. How about in Judges chapter 10 and verse 11? So the Lord said to the children of Israel, did I not deliver you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites and from the people of Ammon and from the Philistines? God reminded them, did I not do that? Just as when they were in that situation, they were extracted from that mess too. What about Psalms 107 and verse 6? David writes, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he left them there in their distress. Is that what it says?
No.
What did he do? He delivered them out of their distresses. How many times has God extracted you from something and delivered you from your distresses? See, that's a right faith perspective. Amen. That's a good word. What about the, you know, in a lot of these cases I'm telling you about, the people were under opposition of, or they were suffering under a situation, and God got them right out of it. How many of you know He'd do the same for you? I don't care what you're dealing with today, He'd do the same for you. Amen. We got somebody we're praying for. We ran into their mom, and there were some things that were spoken, and inside I was like, I heard the Lord say, that's not the way this will be. But they were speaking something else. But I've been praying ever since we saw and talked, and I believe that's going to change. Because how many of you know God will extract you from a situation? Amen. We're believing that. And I believe it'll be so. Amen. How many of you know the Word works? The Word works. So say that with me. Say the Word. God's Word always works. He watches over it to perform it. That's why you should speak the Word. All right. Here's another one. You ready? Number three. Sometimes deliverance happened in the midst of a potentially dangerous situation. And I want you know these are Bible stories, everybody knows. But it was a dangerous situation, had the potential for death. But Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, consider what happened to Daniel and his three friends. If that's the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand. Well, that's the faith perspective talking. Amen. And we all know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Woo! They came out. Didn't even have the smell of smoke. Amen. Even in the midst of a potentially dangerous situation. Hey, the guards that threw them in were killed. But when the king looked down there, he saw a fourth man. Yeah, God's on my side. God will deliver you from a potentially dangerous situation. You know, when I had that car accident, that young man pulled out in front of me, and I T-boned him right on the axle of his rear wheel. He ran the light and turned, and when I hit him so hard that I was unconscious for a brief moment. And I remember the truck that was beside me, who swerved and avoided him, they both jumped out. She was a registered nurse, and he and her were at the side of the car because smoke's coming out of the car, and they are pounding on my glass trying to get me to wake up because they didn't know if the car was going to catch fire. And it wasn't. It was mainly the radiator hitting the engine. But they got my attention enough to where I could get out. And when the state trooper was there, just the goodness and the grace of God. It was a potentially dangerous situation. And they left. I never got to know who they were. And I sure wish I did. Because they were sweet. She even sat there and checked me to make sure I was okay. And she told me, she says, you're going to be fine. You know, at the time, you know, I didn't know my foot was broken a little bit at the toe from pushing the clutch and the brake so hard, trying to stop. You know, you're pushing real hard and you hit somebody real hard, that's going to shake you up a bit. Amen. But you know, God will deliver you in the midst of a potentially dangerous situation. Can you say amen? Well, what about this one? Daniel chapter 6 and verse 20, and when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, Daniel in the lions, then we know the story, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually, has he been able to deliver you from these lions? What did Daniel shout back to him in verse 27? He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on the earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Woo! Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den. These guys were in a situation that was bad and potentially dangerous, but deliverance came while they were in the middle of it. If God will do that for them, don't you know He'd do the same thing for you? Amen! The Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm here to tell you what He did in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He'll do for you right now. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. Every morning you get up, woo, I feel Him touching me. Because He's there all the time. Amen. Number four, real quick. This is good, isn't it? Sometimes deliverance involves going through a situation. Everybody say going through. How many of you have gone through something? My God, you what? Jesus, my God, Jesus, I don't like this. I don't want to be here. But yet, we're going through. Years ago, in Cleveland, somebody was in my office and said, hey, Pastor James, you know, I just feel like I'm in the deepest, darkest valley I've ever been in my life. And they kept going on and on how bleak and how dark and how everything was. And I looked at him and I started to giggle. And he goes, it's not funny. I said, well, dude, you're not pitching a tent there. You're passing through. He looked like somebody hit him in the head with a piece of oak. I hadn't thought of it that way. I said, the scripture says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're not pitching a tent there. You're passing through. Amen. You're passing through. In fact, what could be more clear than that passage? Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? For you are with me. What about Psalm 66 and verse 12? David wrote this. He said, We went through fire and flood, but you brought us to a place of great abundance. Most time people just stop. I'm going through fire and flood, and it's all so bad, and oh my God, Jesus. But he's bringing you to a place of abundance. That's all how you look at it. Let me show you the cat again and make you feel better. How about this one in Isaiah 43 and verse 2? Y'all remember this. This is such a good word. When you pass through the waters, you ever walk through a river or a creek? Chris likes to do that. Go looking for her and her sister. Used to go looking for driftwood and put waders on. Did y'all actually have waders, or did you just go out there with shorts and boots? Flip-flops. My kind of girl. That's what you do. You want to get the best, you got to get out there in it. But this verse, look at it. We went through fire and flood. And then the next verse, when you pass through the waters. You know, sometimes you got to go right through the water. There might be a couple places where you got to... Because you're going to have those moments. Let's just be honest. It's Maalox's moment, right? It's those Pepto-Bismol moments, right? You're passing through that moment. You're passing through it. But what does the Word say? I will what? I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Now that's really good, isn't it? Now everybody just look up here. I want to close with a little story. I'm going to try to shake you a little bit hard here. But part of the faith perspective is just trusting God, right? I mean, you and I need to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful to obey Him. We need to be faithful to be doers of the Word of God, to do it, stick to it. And what I'm about to share, I always think you ought to be cautious about establishing doctrine out of a book that a lot of theologians think is just a literary book. And that's the book of Job. Job, he did not appear to have scripture when you read it from start to finish. And most theologians believe that this literature was written before the Abraham covenant, okay, before the law. This is a story that was passed around. But there's a couple things I want to point out to you. At the end of the book, Job recognized he had said many things that he did not understand, and he repented. Everybody say repented. You want to write it down as Job 42, verses 3 through 6. He repented. He told the Lord, I did not understand. I repent. But then God said that Job's friends did not know what they were talking about either. In Job 42 and verse 7. They didn't know what they were talking about. You ever been around somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about? Well, they sure act like they do. Gosh, his friends said, curse God and die. That's a lot of good friends. In other words, though, the good bulk of the book of Job is a theological argument between four people who we find out didn't know what they were talking about. And really, if you want to get right down to it, you should interpret Job by using later revealed truth in Scripture, especially the New Testament. All right? I always like to say Job had 16 months of a bad year, or 18 months of a bad year. He lost a lot in the beginning, but he got way more back. Okay? But some people, comedians, political people, they make fun of Job. They use it to justify things. And you and I need to realize that his resources and revelation were greatly limited. In fact, he was in intense grief. Everybody say intense grief. He was really grieving, right? The Talmud tells us, hold no man accountable for what he says in his grief. Now, while I know Job made many terrible statements, they were erroneous. I admire his heart and his consecration, though, behind a particular statement, even though it contained a wrong concept of God. And that's Job 13:15. He says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. Now, first, God was not trying to slay Job. Second, he was still intent, Job was still intent on justifying himself. You see that in that verse? That's pride. He was intent on justifying everything he was dealing with. But in spite, and that's problematic, trying to justify it. That's a problem. But in spite of misunderstanding God's nature, in spite of his own personal stubbornness, Job expressed unconditional trust. To me, that's admirable. And even though he wrongly thought God was his problem, he made the statement that was a faith perspective, yet I will trust in him. Amen. You know, we read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, there is a trust that passes all understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all your ways what? And he'll make what? He'll make it straight. Whew. And you know what? Lastly, there's a peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:7. You know, when circumstances or outcomes are favorable, love and trust in God is easy. But when circumstances and outcomes are not favorable, you should still love and trust in God no matter what. Y'all, you're here this morning? Because he's always faithful. See, that's a proper faith perspective. There's a trust that passes all understanding. There's a peace that passes all understanding. And if I love him and I trust in him and I serve him in all things and at all times, I will find myself, whether it's being extracted or taken all the way to the other side or even passing through, God's always with me. And he's got me covered. If you're a military person, God's got your six. He's got you. Aren't you thankful he's got you? Amen? Amen. You know, even when you make a bad decision, you did something you shouldn't have done. How many of you know he's faithful? You know, like Job, you repented. You got it right. God took care of it. Took care of it. Because he's a good God. The devil's a bad devil. But our God's a good God. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you right now. Woo! Thank you for your word. God, you're so good. Oh, we thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, when circumstances are rough, when things don't seem to be going the right way, Lord, even when things are good, Lord, we always trust in you because you're faithful. You're good to us. We serve you in all things at all times. Lord, because you are the reason we exist. You are our reason for life. Everything in our world revolves around you, at least it should. We're quick to obey, prompt to do. Lord, we just thank you for that right now. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're in here this morning and you know, you are in a situation where you need God to do something for you. And if it's any one of these things we shared this morning, any one of those 4 points, you know what? I sense the Spirit of God wanting to remind you, I am faithful. And no matter what you're dealing with, he's got you covered. He's got you covered. If it has to do with your job, if it has to do with a new job, if it has to do with a situation that you need a change in, maybe it has to do with a healing, maybe has to do with a banking situation. I don't care what it is. He's still God and He's still faithful. He'll deliver you. He'll extract you from it. He'll make a way of escape from it. But your job is to stay faithful to Him, to trust in Him. Because what He said in His Word, that is what He will do. And you can always count on Him. Amen. So if that's you this morning, I'm telling you right now, by the Spirit of God, He's got you covered. Whatever's going on, whatever seems to put you in this vice of pressure, He's the pressure reliever. So right now, I want to pray for you. I wanted to call everybody up, but for the sake of time, I'm going to stretch my hands towards you. If that's you, just lift a hand towards heaven right now. Thank you, Lord, you have delivered me. Lord, I thank you that those who are in a place, in this position, Lord, we're passing through. We're not staying there. We're passing through. Lord, no matter what the fire is, no matter what the pressure is, no matter what the storm is, Lord, you are our deliverer. We trust in you. You got us covered. You are watching over us. You are taking care of us. You are our deliverer. You've made us more than a conqueror. Lord, we thank you for that right now. We thank you for that. Somebody in here, you're worried about a new position. Well, the Lord wants you to know He's going to take care of that position. Quit fretting over something you don't even know about yet. And begin to trust Him right where you're at now. Because He's got it. He's got it. Magnified increase. Amen. He's got it. And He's taking it your way too. Amen. Remember, He said in the Scriptures, you have the favor of God. Our God's a God of surprises. Remember that verse? He does things exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think by the power within us. Be speaking right. Keep that right perspective. He's got it taken care of. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This morning, if you're here today, or if you're watching online, and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're never too far away for God to rescue you, to deliver you. And if that's you today, if you're watching, if you're here today, I'm not asking you to raise your hand. I'm not calling you up to the front. But I am asking you to pray with us. And if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is it. This is that moment. Maybe you might not been living for God like you should. You've kind of stepped away. You've taken a vacation from God. But it's time to bring it back. Time to come home. Time to make sure you're right. Bible says if you mess up, you fess up. 1 John 1:9. He'll cleanse you. He'll deliver you. Amen. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whosoever. You're a whosoever. You call on Him, He'll deliver you. So right now, we're going to pray together as a church, out loud. But if that's you and you're here today or you're watching, pray out loud with us right now. Church, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You and I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I choose to live my life for You, to honor You, serve You. God, I believe that You sent Your only Son, Jesus, who walked this earth, who bled and died, who was raised from the dead. I believe You sent Him for me. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new from this day forward. I will live all of my days for You, serving You and honoring You. In Jesus' name, thank You for saving me. Amen, amen. Hey, if you